Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. Girl, I'm bad, 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 bad. Amazing why.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. It's my pleasure as always. You're going to be glad you did because we got our good friend Joan Pride back with us. Joan is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we're going to talk about the Kiplinger letter right now. Joan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you back. I'm glad to be anywhere. How about you?
Yeah.
Hey, Joan, the lead-in for the letter is all about the massive rescue plan, but more importantly, what you guys call the onerous price to be paid for this stimulus package. So
what's
talk to us about that.
Well, the onerous price that we're talking about is a ballooning federal deficit, and we figure that the deficit is going to equal 12.2% of
12.2%
12.2%
of our output, folks. And so now they are, our GDP is about $13 trillion. So it's about 12.5% of that. Joan, I remember within this decade seeing members of Congress, and I don't remember which party, and it doesn't matter. I remember them coming out in front of microphones with the veins popping out in their forehead over 5% deficit of GDP.
Well, and it's also funny to me that we're now talking about it in terms of percent of GDP, because back in the Reagan years, when they were running phenomenal deficits, I think maybe as high as $200 billion, people were apoplectic. But finally figured out that those deficits were only probably, I think, maybe, I want to say 6% of GDP or 7%. So just to give you a comparison, we're talking about a much higher percentage now.
Yeah. Double.
Yeah.
And Joan, you know, this is a huge number.
Right.
And you know, I remember, was it Everett Dirksen who said, no, who was it, who said a billion here and a billion there, but pretty soon we're talking real money.
I think it was either Everett Dirksen or Russell Long.
Yeah, one of those guys, one of those those great statesmen. And you know, that wasn't that long ago, Joan. And when he said billion, you know, we all kind of went, wow, a billion. You know, who knew that in such a short time we'd be nostalgic for billions?
Right.
Trillions. Now trillion. The trillion word is rolling off our tongue as if it was nothing, Joan.
That's right.
And so there's going to be the price to be paid for this, Joan. Is it's rolling up the debt, right?
Yes, it is. That's the problem. We're going to have a big.
We had about a $5 trillion national debt about three years ago, Joan, or so. And now it's about 12, 13 trillion. I mean, and an awful lot of that was when we basically nationalized Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, right?
I think so. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. And
before
so,
that, it was the Iraq War, and then
we
got into the financial difficulties.
So it's a lot of stuff that's added up here, folks. And Joan, we don't have that money. So that means we have to borrow it, which means when you borrow money, you have to pay interest.
Right. Exactly.
And that's coming out of my pocket and your pocket, right?
Right.
As we carry the carrying charge for that national debt, for that for all that money that we're having to borrow from the Chinese, from whoever would loan us the money, we're having to pay that. That's coming out of our pockets. And Joan, that's money that can't be used for other things, isn't it?
Well, that's exactly the problem. You're stifling other parts of the economy when you're doing that.
Yeah. And Joan, at this very moment, stimulus seems to be prudent because we've got an economy that's in really bad shape, the worst one we've had probably since the Depression.
Right.
And we got a tough time. So stimulus They're worried about not doing enough, Joan, because they think maybe in the 30s that was one of the problems, the government didn't do enough. But so they're worried about that. So they're trying to make sure they do enough. But Joan, that comes at a price. And even though the stimulus may help us now, one day we're going to have to. I mean, the bill's going to come due on all this, isn't it?
Well, that's right. And one of the other problems here is long-term Treasury rates are going to keep going up, so it's going to cost more to borrow.
Mm-hmm. And Joan, all of this is leading towards something you and I've talked about in the past, and that is, and that a lot of people are forecasting, and that is inflation, significant
right.
inflation in the not too distant future.
That's right.
Right, Joan?
That's right.
So the key is we got to get the economy going again, so that when we have inflation, we don't also have a negative economy, which is where we get into your ugly word, right, John?
Exactly.
The one you don't like to talk about, which I'll get her to talk about in a minute, folks. 20 till, I'm Jim Blassing, and we've got a lot more to come. Stay with us. That's The Who, ladies and gentlemen, bringing us back. 17 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. The Small Business Advocate, Joan Pride, is our guest, and she's with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, the website is kiplinger.com, and the publications include the one you and I work off of every week, the Kiplinger Letter, which is the weekly publication. You got the bi-weeklies, the California Letter, the Tax Letter, the Agriculture Letter, and then that Biofuels Letter. You got a magazine, too, don't you?
We sure do, Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And how about that phone number?
Oh, our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
And don't forget to ask him about that 30-day free trial. Joan, the S word, which is the word that you don't like. And folks, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to be negative. But this is a real scenario that could happen. And it's something we all need to pay attention to. We all need we don't need to be blindsided if this scenario should come to pass. And that is stagflation. John, tell us what that means.
Oh, do we have to say that word?
Tell us what it means.
I grew up with stagflation. It's a really strange, horrible situation. You know, in a classic recession, you have low output, but you also have low inflation because people aren't producing things. There's mm-hmm. no big demand for goods. But in the 70s, we had stagflation. We had rampant inflation at the same time that we had a sluggish economy. The mm-hmm. problem with stagflation, to me, is that it's something that's very hard to get out of, to break that
right.
cycle, because the two cycles kind of feed on each other. And
prices were going up, but opportunity was going down.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
I don't want to talk about that anymore.
We had that in the 70s, but now you got to admit, Joan, I mean, hopefully what they're hoping for, I think what they're trying to do is time this recovery, Joan, with the stimulus, and it's a tough job. I mean, even though I don't agree with all that they're doing, folks, Joan, we have to give them the due. I mean, because this is a tough job to try to time the stimulus so
right.
that it gets the economy back on its feet before the inflation hits, Joan, we're not going to avoid the inflation. I mean,
right.
inflation is coming. There's no way to avoid that. Now, how bad it's going to be, who knows?
Right.
But you folks, prepare for the rest of this decade. Prepare for increased inflation and into the next decade as well. So these are all things that are happening, folks. That there is a price to be paid, right, Joan? I mean, there is a price to be paid for the stimulus that's being put into the economy right now.
Right. Well, there has to be, sure.
Yeah, and so you and I are going to pay for it, folks. Joan, one of the things that's happening, talking about borrowing money, the only way to be able to do that from other countries like China mm-hmm. is if they want our currency, if our currency is the more desirable of all the other currencies, and currently it is.
Right.
But recently China and Russia have been talking about some kind of a world currency.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Apparently, they are.
They are, and of
like
course,
a superhero.
I mean, yeah, something like that. Which it's just jawboning. It's just financial saber rattling, but it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see if they continue to talk about that, because the euro, Joan, is the newest currency. It was very successful, but it's a little shaky right now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it sure is.
And Joan being our monetary expert in the brain trust.
By the way.
No, it's just an interesting thing to watch what's happening there. So, folks, pay attention to that. Joan, let's move over and talk about retail is not going to have a good year in 2009, right?
I'm afraid so. I wish, you know, it's not a happy graph, but it's such a nicely done graph. I wish your listeners could see it.
Yep.
That's why
yep.
one of the many reasons they have to take the Kiplinger letter. But right. in this graph, boy, you know, there's a lot of bars pointing down for growth and only a very few just poking up just the tiniest little bit.
Yeah, you actually identify various companies like Kohl's and American Apparel, Abercrombie & Fitch, et cetera, Target, as you say, Walmart.
Right.
It's said Walmart's one of the hot spots. It's one of the positive ones there, obviously. But anyway, it's going to be a tough year for retail. If you're a retailer, God bless you. God help you and hang in there. Joan, let's move down, all the way down, and talk about the credit card situation. I think this is important to point out. I got wind of this happening over a year ago. I was hearing about people having their credit card balances, or I should say their credit levels cut. If they had a $3,000 level on the credit card and they owed $1,800 at one point in any month, sometime around last January, February in 2008, the credit card companies cut your credit line to whatever that level was.
Right, and it didn't seem as if there was a whole lot of rhyme or reason for what they were doing. It isn't as if they were doing it to people who were making late payments, I believe.
No, it wasn't. It had nothing to do with payments. What it had to do with, Joan, is something that there still is this shoe out there waiting that could drop, and that is there could be a subprime kind of a meltdown in the credit card industry.
Well, that wouldn't surprise
me at all.
Because
there's so much credit card debt.
Right, right.
And so what they were trying to do was as the economy was softening, to prevent people from using their credit lines to live on or whatever, they probably did a survival move, Joan, and prevented people from being able to charge extra things. And that's
what's ironic about that, Jim, is that the people they need to worry most about are probably the people that are already at their limit. There's probably some very good small business owners out there who needed that extra credit, who weren't in any kind of, you know, dire financial straits,
Thank
but
you.
Now they don't have that extra credit to continue operations. So these credit card companies are kind of shooting themselves in the foot if they're restricting credit.
Thank
that
you,
might help
Joan.
A business to survive.
You've lurched uncontrollably to the truth. That's
Sorry,
exactly.
Let me get off my soapbox.
No, that was beautiful. It was you said it perfectly.
Okay.
That's exactly right. And Joan, if you remember about a year ago, a little over a year ago, I started saying this is what's going to be the problem for startups. Startups are going to have a hard time because of this. And what you guys report this week is that the credit card companies aren't through cutting those lines. So, folks, get ready for that. You might want to pay attention. It's not my job to give you good news or bad news, folks. It's just our job to report the news. Tintel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out. Use it to your advantage. Please check out my blog when you get there. The new post on the blog is all about niches, the wonderful world of niches, and niches inside of niches even. So check that out, and don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and all the other things you can do there. You got 5 seconds, you got 15 minutes. We got something you can listen to or read that will help you with your small business, the one you're starting or the one you're trying to grow right now. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And we're talking about, Joan, let's move over and talk about the census. The census, you know, this has been a controversial issue, Joan. A lot of people may not realize this, but the census was intentionally designed by our forebears, the founders, to be out of the control of certain politicians. And for a long time now, maybe forever, it's been part of the Department of Commerce, hasn't it?
That's right.
And so they've been, there was a little kerfuffle, as they say in Washington.
Oh,
there.
I like that word. Very good.
I love that word. A little kerfuffle.
I thought it was a brouhaha, but maybe it was a kerfuffle.
I don't know. I think it didn't get to the brouhaha level, but it was when Senator Gregg wrote the Republican from Rhode Island. Is that where he's from? I think so. And he was going to be the Department of Commerce secretary, but I think one of the reasons why he didn't stay with it is because the Obama administration was trying to bring the census under the auspices of the administration, not the Department of Commerce.
Yes, the person that would have, and I don't know if they went through with this, but they wanted to really have the census directed, we're talking the 2010 census, by some office in the White House, so sort of taking it out of the purview of the Commerce Department.
Which a lot of people, to fly over America, that's probably like, well, you know, so what? But that's a big deal, isn't it, really?
Well, as we say in our item here, think about what the census determines. Congressional districting?
Yeah.
Federal funding? I mean, that's huge.
And that's what the founders knew. And I'll tell you, they were so smart in their vision, Joan, with the way they were able to look forward and see potential. I mean, they were pretty concerned about abuses.
Politicization, I guess that's the word.
Yeah, that's a good word to say. So folks, I think we all need to, in my opinion, and this is not off of the Kiplinger letter, but in my opinion, we all need to pay attention to this and make sure that the census stays in the Department of Commerce. And so I hope that's what happens. But that's an interesting thing there, Joan. Joan, what is a power tower?
Well, we write about it. We ask, is it an oak, a maple, or a birch? No, it's a power tower. I guess it's a generating system, but it would mimic the form of a tree. And it would this is interesting to me. It would capture both solar and wind energy. And I'm guessing that maybe the idea to make it like a quote-unquote tree is to make it more palatable to be put near people's neighborhoods.
Yeah. I've actually seen a something like this, Joan. Not far from you, somewhere on the East Coast, I saw it once, and it looked like a tree, but it actually was like an antenna stand. I mean, it was like instead of an antenna tower where, you know, the big, ugly, hideous things that they put up to put all these antennas on, this actually looked like a tree, but it had the antennas on it.
Wow.
So maybe that's the kind of thing they're talking about. And if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense, because one of the things that people object to is having a tower put right next to them, or having a windmill. You know, they don't like the idea of the windmills being up on the ridges, that kind of thing.
Right, exactly.
So a power tower, maybe that's what we need to be thinking about. and it's you know, it'd be my luck to have one of those in my yard or something, and somebody come by and cut it down, you know, thinking they were going to make fire with
that. That could
Joan,
get messy.
Yeah. Hey, Joan, let's talk about this last thing on page 3.
Sure.
Small business construction opportunities, the weatherizing of homes. Part of the stimulus package is going to be, there's a certain amount of money. I reported on it with my tongue in my cheek, Joan, a few months ago, to winterize homes.
Right. And I guess the idea is for this to be a win-win, that you're spending this stimulus money and getting people working, but at the same time, the job they're doing is to improve the energy efficiency of residences.
And Joan, back in the 70s, when we had the last, back in your, when your,
I'm too young to remember that.
Anyway, back in those days, there were a lot of companies across the country made a lot of money because they did a very similar thing to get homes insulated, to get storm windows up on homes and that sort of thing. So there may be some opportunity, folks, if you're in the construction business or want to be, you might want to look into that particular part of the stimulus package. Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next time.
Okay.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editor. She will be back. I will be too, but it's going to be tomorrow. In the meantime, I got to wrap it up. Before I do, I want to remind you, today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.